the rest of the story. The former vice president of the United States had been arrested, charged with conspiracy to commit treason. To this day, nobody knows for sure what he had in mind, but it seems that he was plotting to seize some land in the American Southwest and start his own country. Apprehended along with the former vice president were two couriers, Eric Bowman and Samuel Swartout, in whose possession were discovered secret plans related to this incredible scheme. Troops and arms were already being deployed to the target region, it was alleged. The passing of nearly two centuries since has not abated the astonishment of historians as they re-examine the curious conspiracy of Tom Jefferson's vice president, Aaron Burr. And more intriguing still is the rest of the story. It was considered the trial of the century, even though the century itself was only a few years young. Since nobody cared much for Aaron Burr anyway, who, as you recall, already had killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel, the nation was crying out for a conviction. So, enter Frank, 27-year-old attorney, who had inherited an entire law practice from his Uncle Phil. He's young, full of beans, for the most part untested, but he's the only lawyer in these United States who will take co-conspirators Bowman and Swartout as clients, and the trial begins. I want you to focus on something, tempting as it is to see only the excitement in the circuit court in Richmond. I want you to look over to the defendant's table, and the defendant's attorney, watch what he's doing. He's scribbling. He's jotting notes on a piece of paper. It might be, it ought to be, related to the trial. What it is poetry? Poetry. This is the way hotshot barrister Frank relaxes. Over the years, Frank's children will grow accustomed to little rhyming notes from their father, written on scraps of paper, even on a hen's eggs. It's more than a hobby, you see. It's Frank's favorite way of communicating, particularly with the people he loves. History records that Frank successfully defended the indefensible Bowman and Swartout, that he argued their case brilliantly, that he got them acquitted, and in the process quickly became one of the most sought-after attorneys in the entire United States. Burr himself was acquitted as well. But now, whenever you hear his name, whenever you try to fathom what it seems he tried to accomplish, you will also recall an eloquent young lawyer, a part-time poet, who never did quit his day job for his poetry, and still, despite the historic litigation that made him famous in the practice of law, there's only one thing for which the world at large recognizes him: a few lines that he once jotted down aboard a ship, a brief poem that he hastily entitled Defense of Fort McHenry. It begins, "Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?" That's right. So now whenever you stand to sing our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, I hope you'll envision an ambitious young lawyer named Francis Scott Key, who has a hobby inscribed rhymes on eggshells. Perhaps you'll never again stand to sing without remembering the rest of the story.